Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. Near Denver, Colorado, you'll find a doctor's office that's unlike many others. Callers don't have to navigate a complicated phone system to make an appointment. In fact, they don't even need an appointment because walk-ins are welcome. But the visitors to this office aren't the typical patient population either. Almost all are refugees who have fled from places like Burma, Somalia, Iraq, and Congo. They speak a lot of languages, but not necessarily English. Our next guest, physician PJ Palmar, tells how he makes all this work and how some of his methods could make healthcare friendlier at doctor's offices in general.
My first goal was to practice in underserved medicine to fill a gap, people who might not get the care otherwise. And of course, we know there's plenty of demographics in the U.S. that have that. But there was something that especially called me to the refugees. You know, I'm from an immigrant family. I'm not a refugee by any means. My parents, they came from India. And there's something about the immigrant experience that I identify with and sympathize with as far as growing up in a household that doesn't have the dominant culture. And so maybe that's what drew me to this population. Denver may sound like a place to go skiing, but it does have a lot of refugees. Colorado, I think, is somewhere fifth or sixth ranking in number of states in terms of number of refugees taken, which is actually higher than you would think given the size of the state.
Dr. Palmar recently wrote a list of tips for creating a medical office that takes patients' cultural background into account. It boils down to this: make it easy for people to access care.
After having seen thousands of patients who are refugees, a number of people started asking me, hey, what is cultural competence? And I finally realized that as far as seeing patients in the United States in a culturally competent manner, it is much different than just trying to have an interpreter. And that's where the list of things that my staff and I actually brainstormed as far as what is it that patients appreciate about coming to our clinic. And a number of those things are aspects that could help any underserved medicine in the U.S. or actually any medical setting, period. It's basically breaking down the barriers to care for these folks. The cultural barriers are just one of many barriers, and financial barriers, socioeconomic, and of course language barriers. And the more of those you can get rid of, the better you'll be able to help your patients.
Some of these barriers are the well-known hassles that our society has been joking and complaining about for years. They may seem firmly embedded in the healthcare system, but Dr. Palmar's clinic manages to get by without them.
We have entirely walk-in appointments that people just enjoy it better. They don't have to call on the phone to make an appointment. It's hard to call on the phone when you don't speak the language or don't know how to use the phone or can't hear properly or can't see the buttons. Having an appointment and showing up an appointment time is hard if you have to rely on a bus or if you have to first drop your kids off or worry about your sick parents. So it's just much easier. You show up when you show up. It's that simple. So we allow walk-in appointments. And along with that, we get rid of all the phone trees, answering services, lunch hour, centralized scheduling, all of that. The goal is the phone rings and a human answers the phone. It goes to my own cell phone every single evening and weekend. I don't get that many calls. But if a patient calls during the day and my medical assistant answers the phone, he's pretty quick to hand the phone to me. The goal is for the patient to have as little barriers between themselves and the provider. Another example is when a patient walks into the clinic and has been here before, if there's no one else, my goal is for them to walk right in the front door, walk right into my office and sit down next to me without stopping. I feel a degree of success when they do that because that means there was absolutely no barrier to them walking in and seeing me. Anything that gets between point A and B is a barrier. So we've minimized paperwork. We make all referrals on the spot right then and there. We don't write on a paper, please refer to ENT and put it in a stack to get handled next Tuesday. We do it right on the spot because the patient's family member who's going to help take them to the appointment is right there with them at that moment. There's a number of other tactics. We use texting a lot. We sometimes don't e-prescribe because it's handier when a patient just has the prescription in their hand. These are all tactics that add up to cutting down those barriers. And these are all things that I don't see being done in a lot of places that may even try to focus on different cultures.
At their visits, Dr. Palmar's patients don't necessarily want the typical healthcare services. One of the rules he included in his blog posting is give the patients what they want, even though it sometimes conflicts with evidence-based medicine.
Your patient may find it therapeutic just to sit in front of a doctor and talk for a while and then leave without a prescription. And so culturally, we get that a lot, where we have to learn that it isn't all about doing the CAT scan or the MRI. On the other hand, some places, it seems in a lot of the Middle East, you can get antibiotics just over the counter. So when they come to me, they're already quite frustrated that they couldn't go into the pharmacy and buy antibiotics. So they come in demanding it pretty heavily and ultimately have to change my threshold for prescribing antibiotics. If I don't give it, what they do is they then go to the next provider and the next one to the local emergency room.
The majority of Dr. Parmar's patients rely on health coverage that gives some doctors pause, Medicaid. The American College of Physicians recently noted that the Medicaid program has long struggled to attract participating physicians. Those who do treat patients on Medicaid often incur a financial loss, the ACP adds. But Dr. Parmar says he's happy with the setup.
In Colorado, I have the luxury of them being Medicaid. So refugees come to the country, and now they're like anybody else. If they meet income guidelines, which all of them do, they get Medicaid when they're new, and then if they get a job, they'll fall off the Medicaid. But Medicaid right now, as you know, in the United States, in my opinion, pays pretty well. It pays the same as Medicare for 2013 and 2014, and we have a beautiful luxury in Colorado. There was some sort of state legislation just passed where that Medicare-Medicaid parity, or bump as some people call it, that's going to continue in Colorado at least for the next year and a half. And these are incentives that were put in place to help small private primary care practices to encourage them to see Medicaid patients. And they work, in my opinion. They work really well.
In an era when independent physicians are dwindling in number, Dr. Parmar wants to keep his operation small and nimble.
A lot of underserved medicine right now in the U.S. is done in large practices, namely the federally qualified health centers, and it's seen as you can't survive in a small practice doing underserved medicine. You can. You can do it very well, very profitably, and in fact, by the same token, be much closer to the patient and achieve all these things at the same time. So anything you can do to keep your practice small will also cut down those barriers to care, whether they're for any underserved population, refugees, or otherwise.
Dr. P.J. Parmar is a physician at Artis Family Medicine in Aurora, Colorado. And you'll find a link to his blog describing his approach to primary care at our website at soundmedicine.org.